a breakup doesn't have to be messy. I spent a year and a half with this girl and I was in love with her and she was in love with me and it just didn't work out. There's two sides to every story, but I just wanted to like appreciate the memories and reflect on the love. Like I had my fun when I was in my 20s and it's just not fulfilling. And I think it's important, especially in the place where I'm at now after a breakup, to heal rather than like suppress my emotions with someone else under my sheets.
Welcome back, my billion dollar baby. I'm Tara Electra, and on this episode, we're gonna dive deep into love and breakups. I recently saw a video that resonated with me so much, I literally cried. I think it's the most authentic video about breakups and what love is really like, and I have a friend that's coming on that I met in LA, and he's a big YouTuber. He blew up on the internet and is going to come here today and really open up about relationships. So welcome, Mark Doner. Thank you so much for coming to my bed today, Mark.
Thanks for having me. It's a good set. Does this sign always stay up?
Yeah, it's always on, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to really just jump into it with you. I know there's a lot, but you recently had a video go absolutely viral for your love and breakup with your recent ex. Mm-hmm. And I think it brought so many people over to your page because it resonated with so many. Mm. And it's like, to me, it was like one of the most authentic videos that I've watched about breakups and love. I literally cried.
Really?
Yes. And then I showed it to one of my friends, Abby Rayo. I showed her. She teared up. Like, we all teared up. And wow. So, yeah, it was just so amazing. So I wanted to kind of chat with you about it and, you know, kind of share a lot of what your experience was, because I think a lot of people would resonate with it even more. So What can you tell us about it?
I mean, breakups are a part of life.
Yes.
And I think it's important to use them as a learning tool and appreciate them for what they were. And I don't think, like a breakup doesn't have to be messy.
Yeah.
You know, like I spent a year and a half with this girl and I was in love with her and she was in love with me and it just didn't work out. And I don't think, you know, I don't think it's important to bash someone online like, oh, they did this or they did that, or, you know, she could say the same thing about me. I mean, there's two sides to every story, but yeah, I just wanted to like appreciate the memories and reflect on the love and make a good video about it. I wouldn't say it went crazy viral. I mean,
it did do well.
Did well, but I mean, crazy viral is like 10 million
to you.
But it's funny because like I made that video during a time where I was, the Ace family, you know them?
Yes.
He was like going crazy on his Snapchat and stuff like that. And I was like, I just kind of want to make like a wholesome video about love. And, you know, I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like mature about it and be like, hey, you know, it didn't work out, but it was a great relationship and I learned a lot.
Yeah. I feel like the reason it resonated so much is because you like broke down different parts of like love, like you can feel like you're gonna be with this person so forever, like literally the part where you were also like, we're never gonna break up, like we're gonna sign a contract about it. And I'm like, that's so, I've experienced that where you just feel like never in a million years you guys would break up,
right?
Or like that wouldn't be you guys. And so it's like so beautiful to see like the experiences that you guys went through, and I think that it's not really shed light on in the way that you guys shed light on it. So I was like, that was really impactful.
Well, I think a lot of people when they go through a breakup, their first instinct is like delete all the photos and memories and act like it never happened. But I don't think that, like, why delete, you know, a part of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always like, I mean, I took the photos off the Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody does the same shit. They unfollow each other. But yeah, I mean, I'm grateful for the memories. I did a similar thing for my first breakup, which was like 5 years ago. And it's like, yeah, it's a part of my life. I publicize my life. So I'm just going to talk about it and put it out there.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
You don't have your relationship online.
No, I have before.
Oh yeah.
And I hated it.
Honestly, it was a learning. I'm 0 for 2. And I don't think that my next partner I'll put online.
It's really hard because when so many people are involved in your relationship, it's so like,
yeah,
it's almost so much more hurtful when it ends too, because so many people are like, what happened? What happened? And everyone asks you about it for a long time.
Right.
Because it's so public. Like, oh, weren't you with that person? Right.
Yeah,
for like almost a year after, you're like, we broke up a year ago.
Right.
Like, it's always like a reminder.
Yeah. And the comments, they speculate. They're all like, and it's okay. Like I'm willing to take some heat, you know, like I said, I think after breakup, you both have to take accountability and work on things.
Yeah. Because
you clearly, you know, it didn't work out for a reason. It's mm-hmm. not anyone's fault. But yeah, the comments, sometimes I'm reading them, I'm like, all right, man, you don't really know, you yeah. know, what happened, but I'll take it.
Yeah, but I will. I think for you guys, and like, I think this would be cool for other people to hear, is like, you clearly loved each other, but a lot of mm-hmm. times that's not enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was that like for you guys?
I think, well, this is my first long distance relationship, and it's pretty challenging, you know, because she was from Switzerland and she could only stay here for like 3 months at a time. Mm-hmm. So when we first met, we really hit it off and we just didn't want to leave each other's side. So I went over to Europe for the summer and then we came back here for 3 months and then we moved to Germany for 4 months and then we came back here for another 3 months and then she wow. had to go back. I didn't go back the last time and that was hard spending yeah. 3 months apart because you know, you, I was with time. This person, you know, every day and then to not have them by your side for 3 months, it was challenging.
Yeah. That's but, so cool that you guys experience so much life together. Yeah. Like traveling like makes you grow a lot with someone.
Yeah. That's like a good tool to test the relationship, right? Can yeah. you travel with someone? Yeah. And we had no problem. We went everywhere in Europe during the summer and had a blast and yeah, like just a ton of really good memories.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to kind of go into this and see what you think about it. So men and women fall in love differently, they say.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
That like it's that it's hard. It's actually, I've read a lot about it, but they say it's actually harder for a female to fall in love than a man because females need so many things to make sure.
Oh this yeah, partner's they good. Have a list of 50 things, and men have a list of want like 10.
Yeah, like it's easier for guys to like yeah. find someone, and then it's harder for a girl to find someone because they have certain things they need to look for in a partner. Because naturally, they say like, when you're gonna, you know, get married and have kids, you want to make sure you're good because as a mm-hmm. girl, you're pregnant, you can't really work. Like you need yeah. to make sure you can rely on this.
Just
person.
Say that he has to be 6 foot tall and make six figures.
No, but there are certain things that females like naturally, instinctively need to make sure that the guy can hold it down while they like can't. You know,
yeah.
it's a different thing to look for. Like,
do you think that's a societal programming or?
That's what I was going to talk to you about. Yeah. What do you think?
That's societal, I think.
Yeah.
Social media. I think back, like if you look at my parents, for example, that I don't, my mom was a teacher. She worked and did everything that the stay-at-home mom would do, and she yeah. had a job.
Yeah.
And my dad had a job. But I think in today's generation with like social media, you see like the female delusion calculator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those videos where they're like, all right, how tall does your guy need to be? And then the girl's like, well, he needs to be 6 foot. And then it's like, how much money does he have to make? She's like, well, he needs to make 100K. And can he be obese? And she's like, no. And then can he be married? And she's like, no. And then like the delusion calculator is like, okay, you're looking for like a dude that's 0.00001% of the population. Like,
yeah.
Girls are delusional. I mean, it's a fact. You just said it. You're like, oh, girls have like a huge list of things that they need to have yeah. for a man. And then a guy's like, is she decent looking? Yeah. Does she love me? Yeah. Does she put out? Yeah. Okay. We're good.
Just three. Well, I was more so meaning it on a place of like, what's the word? Biologically, we are looking for a provider. That was it.
Yeah. But okay. But back in the day, like you said, hunt.
Yes.
So what's a provider now? Money.
Yeah. Working and making yeah. sure the girl can stay at home if they have a kid or something happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious.
I mean, if go find a hunter, would you be happy with him? If he puts food on the table and you live in a
I'm not
log
saying
cabin?
Me specifically, even though obviously it depends on the person, but I know that like, you know, yeah, that was like traditionally the thing, but mm-hmm. nowadays of course everything's changing. People are becoming more open-minded. There's right. a lot of I mean, you know me, I literally work 24/7, mm-hmm. so obviously I'm not like a stay-at-home type of girl. But I know that there's a lot of females that have a long list of things they look for in a relationship yeah. because they feel like they need to be secure when they like have kids and stuff.
Well, I think LA dating is much different than the rest of the United States.
That was another thing I was going to tell yeah. you. I was going to ask you. I was going to be like, you've dated girls in LA.
Yeah.
And then you've went now and traveled to other countries. Like, what do you think is the main differences you've seen?
I think LA dating is just... it's hard because there's so much access
mm-hmm.
and there's too many options and there's too, Like, all right, if you date a pretty woman who lives in LA, obviously there's other dudes trying to get at them. So there's like a lot of temptation, I would say. There's a lot of wanting to go do these lavish things. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of LA dating.
Yeah.
I mean, I would prefer, I've always said that I would never raise a family in LA. Mm-hmm. Just because, I don't know, I've been here for 10 years and I still don't call it home.
Wow.
I still call Hudson, Ohio my home.
Wow. That's crazy. So what did you notice specifically about even American girls compared to like European girls? Like, were there certain things that they look for that you notice in relationships that they, because I would imagine they're more, even more traditional, no?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, my girlfriend lived in LA for a little bit, so she, yeah. I wouldn't consider her like a Swiss. Oh, okay. She's not like from the mountains in Switzerland, yeah. You know? But I will say I've talked to European women and I found it difficult to connect with them. Mm-hmm. So when I did connect with her, I was like shocked, honestly, because whenever I had a conversation with like a German girl or Russian, whatever it was in LA, there was like a language barrier where I would say a joke and they wouldn't laugh. Like just like in, you know, sarcasm and stuff. And
yeah, that's
just because it's not their first language. But with her, we really hit it off. And
oh, that's great.
It didn't feel like I was dating a European.
So they always say that, you know, it's harder being the one that's broken up with. Mm. But then there's also, you know, people that say it's also very hard to break up with someone.
Right.
You know, it's like just as hard, especially mm-hmm. if you care about them. What do you think about that?
Well, I never give up. Mm-hmm. Never back down. Never what? That's me. So I've gotten broken up with twice.
Wow.
Because I can't muster up the courage to do it. I'm willing to fight through it. And
that's a good thing though.
Yeah. I think most men are that way. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I can't speak for all men, but yeah, I think just from my values and the way that I was raised in a Catholic house and my parents have been married for 40 something years and
wow.
My grandparents were married for like 60. So like that is ingrained in me that like when I find my person, I will fight through everything and anything to be with them forever.
I love that.
And so I can't break up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it's like to break up with someone.
Wow.
But when I've talked to people in like a situationship, I will say I suck at like, I just ghost. And I know that's such a bad thing. And I need to work on that for sure.
So when you're like talking to a girl, but it's not very serious.
And it starts to get a little too serious, I ghost.
So how do you, when in those scenarios, because I think that's good for a lot of females too that are listening and maybe even guys, what makes you do that to someone? Do you feel like?
Because I'm an avoidant.
Really?
Yeah. And I need to work on that.
It's good that you know though.
Yeah. Well, it's not good. Like,
it
I'm
is
not
good you know.
Proud to admit that.
So talk to people about the differences between the love. It's like an anxious and yeah. then an avoidant.
Well, an anxious, they always need your attention. They need your affirmations and to know that you love them. And mm-hmm. an avoidant more so, I guess, when I feel someone getting too close, I start to pull back because I get a little scared of the commitment, I guess. Mm-hmm. Especially if I don't think it's gonna go far. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. My breakup's so fresh. I'm not even in the space right now to talk to women. I tried so hard yeah. and I can't even do it. Like,
no, it's good to not force it too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't force it. I'm not like my first breakup. I've only been in two relationships in my whole life.
No way.
Yeah, I'm 30.
Wow. And they've both been long. Or this one's only a year and a half.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Your other the first one was really long. Oh, it felt like forever. I remember
yeah,
that
but
one.
Then I was single for like 4 years. And I guess I don't want to date someone or get into a relationship unless I think it's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. So I did 4 years after my first one and we'll see how long it takes. I mean, my clock's ticking now. I'm freaking 30. And my two brothers and my sister have two kids each. I have five nieces and a nephew. And the problem is my sister had the nephew and all my brothers are putting out are females. So my last name is in jeopardy right now. So I need to get moving and crank out some freaking young
sons.
Gentlemen. Yeah.
That's funny.
But I'm 30 now.
Okay, well, I'll kind of go in on you. You obviously like blew up on the internet. Mm-hmm. You're a good looking guy.
Oh,
you
thank
live
you.
In LA.
I haven't heard that in a while.
You like, I remember like you going out with, you know, every influencer mm-hmm. in the world. You probably could hook up with any girl. And what, how was that whole lifestyle and who you were then and like who you are today? And like, what, how has it been for you to be like, okay, now I went mm-hmm. from like that world of being able to hook up with so many girls, do whatever I want to, now you feeling like you want to settle down?
So I was raised Catholic, as I said, and I graduated high school virgin. Because
I would have never knew
because
that.
My dad pretty much said, if I have sex, I'm going to hell.
Wow.
So I was super scared to like hook up with anyone in high school. And then I was going to go to college and I'm like, I can't go to college a virgin. So like I lost my virginity the summer before college after my senior year. And then college, I had some fun. And then LA is like, just hookup culture. I mean, when you first get here and you're young, but it wasn't, I guess now that I'm 30, it's just not fulfilling anymore.
Yeah.
Like I had my fun when I was in my 20s and popping on social media and stuff, but it's just not fulfilling. And I don't know, like I think it's important, especially in the place where I'm at now after a breakup, to heal rather than like suppress my emotions with someone else under my sheets, you know?
Yeah, exactly, because you don't ever actually heal that way.
Yeah,
it's like rushing to the next thing just like puts a band-aid on it.
And yeah,
yeah, it's like the people that rush into something else, they actually are going to take way longer to heal than mm-hmm. the people that are just go through the pain now and then move on.
Right, and it's not fair to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm straightforward. I went on a date with a girl after my breakup and I said, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I think you're a really nice girl and I'm going through a breakup right now and I'm not really in the headspace to like mm-hmm. go further with any of this. Just like, it's nice to hang out with you. And if you don't want to hang out with me anymore, that's totally fine. But
that's great. I love that.
Let them know up front. You know, like, but then we started, like, she told me she liked me and then I ghosted.
You're like, and this is where
because I was like, I told you that I'm not ready. And now you're saying you like me and but I told you I wasn't ready. Like, that's not going to change.
Yeah.
You know?
That's funny.
But I'm a fucking dick, dude. Like, I got to work on that. I don't know. I hate confrontation.
What do you think is the main reason you ghost instead of let someone know?
Because I don't like hurting people's feelings. So I think just running away is, like,
the right thing to do.
Instead of telling them, hey, But I know it's the wrong thing to do. And it's funny because I was so upfront. Initially, I'm like, hey, I'm not looking for anything, you know, like, I want to respect you. And then I go and I disrespect you.
No, I think it's good because for girls listening, it's good to know why a guy would ghost them. And then for guys listening, it's good to know why a girl would ghost them. I would say I don't know if I've ever ghosted anyone, but I do like not reply. Yeah. And then I'll reply like 2 weeks later and be like, I'm so sorry, just saw this, I've been so busy, like that, which is kind of fucked up too.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's like instead of, just saying.
I guess it feels like, oh, maybe they'll forget about me. and like, instead of the last thing you say being like, hey, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Because that rejection hurts.
Yeah, it's like you feel, and that's the only times I've done that is me feeling bad to hurt someone. So that's probably what you're saying too, right? You just don't want to hurt them. So then you think by ghosting is better.
Which it's not. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, because then they don't know why. And then that's what hurts, because then they think it's something wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, rejection hurts.
It does.
But Gotta get rejected.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? After my breakup, my whole TikTok For You page is tarot card readings. Shit's driving me crazy, dude. I'm scrolling and I'm like feeding into this delusion. They're like, she's gonna reach out to you. She's regretting everything right now. I'm like, yeah, she fucking is. I know you. And then they're like, she hasn't reached out. It's like, dude, damn tarot card readings are freaking.
They're like, if you saw this video, you were meant to be here.
Yeah, if you
right
saw
now.
This on March 15th at this time, and I look at the watch and the time, I'm like, oh my God, she's coming back.
That's the stuff that makes everything else look bad.
Yeah.
But that is so funny. They're like, oh my God. They're like, you are meant to see this right now. We are watching this for a reason.
Yeah. This has no hashtags and no captions. So if you're seeing this, it was meant to reach you. She wants to tell you that she misses you. I'm like, well, why can't she fucking do it herself? Gotta send a tarot card over here.
Okay. So now, what are some of the thoughts you've had going from, like, you know, living the life, being an influencer too, like being famous in LA is a different level of an experience for people that aren't, you know, like being a guy that comes out here that's not in the industry is very different than how you were experiencing it. Like, cause I would, I'm going to explain it to others. Like, obviously being a dude anywhere, going to like the best parties and stuff, like not everyone wants you there when you're a guy. It's harder to get in places and so forth. But when you're an influencer or celebrity dude, you can get in everywhere.
Yeah.
You're like a girl.
Kind of, yeah.
Everyone wants you there.
Yeah.
Even the dudes.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
So you got to like really live it
I
up.
I thought people just liked me for me.
I could have sworn they liked me. Yeah. But you have way more of a, like a chance for everyone to like want to be your friend, you know?
Yeah.
And so then living that life and then getting to a place where it's not fulfilling, because I think a lot of people look at LA and all this like culture and be like, wow, I wish I was part of all that. But it's so, you're right. Once you do it too much, you start to like, it sounds weird, but you really do see it for what it is more. And then you see, you start to see that it's not all that it's made out to be. And like, you know, as fun as it was initially, it gets old really quickly.
Yeah.
And then you can like there's times where I see people at like clubs and all these things out here and I'm just like, I'm not even, I don't even have FOMO. Like literally zero FOMO.
I think it comes down to like your values, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you kind of realize one day and wake up, you're like, whoa, I'm not really living the life that I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got sucked into like living other people's lives. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are partying. What are my true values and intentions? What do I want to accomplish? Like I did go out. I'm honestly trying to think how I did it, because I daily vlogged for 2 years.
Wow.
And I don't know how I would go out and party and then still post a vlog the next day.
Good for you though.
Yeah. And I reflect on that time of my life and I'm like, I can barely post one vlog a week now. And I did it every day for 2 years.
No way.
Yeah. And I'm like, how did I do that? Like, I was a superhuman.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you went back and edited it?
No. I edited it. When I did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I started with 3 a week. I edited those and then I did 5 a week and I still did the Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
And I had an editor for those 2 days and then I did daily. And then I had two editors. Basically, I had two editors that lived in the UK. So I would vlog and then upload the footage to the UK. And while I was sleeping, they would edit it. And then I'd wake up and it was done. So it was like a 24-hour machine. And it was pretty genius. My Logan, he's the one that turned me on to that.
Wow.
And yeah, but I was like, I was posting a video every day and then I started a podcast once a week and then I had a Facebook show I was doing once a week and then I did skits like 3 times a week and I just don't remember how the hell I did all that, you know?
It's really cool and people don't realize that's like running a business. You're literally a business.
Yeah, but it was important to go out to meet people and meet other influencers and collaborate with them. And I think as we all grow up and get older, we kind of all realize we want our own thing and we have to do our own thing because you know friendships aren't going to be forever. Mm-hmm. So people start to do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's true. Like
what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never the LA scene was fun, but I was never into that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've worn white Vans since high school and I tried to like buy designer shit one time and I wore it once and I was like, I feel like such a loser wearing this. And yeah, I never wear
it. It's not me.
Like these freaking shorts, Abercrombie, baby. These socks from Costco. Deadass, that's who I am.
I love it.
The nicest thing I do like cameras. Like I love cameras. I love like my editing equipment. That's what I spend money on.
Yeah.
And I do like my car.
I was going to say, you have a nice car always.
Yeah. And my apartments. I like where I live and what I drive and my cameras.
Yeah.
So that's my designer stuff.
Yeah. So what got you to stop like vlogging every day? What was the moment you're like, all right, I can't do this? Did you get burnout?
Yeah, burnout.
Yeah.
Vlogging was really good because I'm really thankful that 2 years of my life every day are on camera. I think that's really cool. And it pushed me to work hard. But I did get burnt out coming up with ideas. And it was cool because like, it was a performance and every day, like the difficult part was like keeping like personal things offline. Like
yeah.
I was in a relationship and we could be in an argument or like upset with each other, you know? And it's
like
I
have vlogging today.
Yeah. I have to vlog like every day. So like,
that would be really hard on your relationship, right?
Oh, 100%. Like looking back, like, yeah, you could be in an argument and I'm like, not now. like arguing, and then it like hit record and be like, what's up guys, welcome, this is the craziest day ever, like we are having so much fun, turn off the camera and fucking walk into another room. Yeah, dude, it's toxic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
people won't ever understand that life.
So when you started, you know, getting on the internet and doing YouTube, at what point did you realize this is a career?
So I was working for Logan Paul. He flew me out here, and I was living in his closet on an air mattress.
Wow, I never knew this story.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was in his room, and I was in his walk-in closet.
At that crazy house, the Team 10 house?
No. This was 1600 Vine.
Oh, like, wow. When I first moved back out here. In the day.
Yeah, so I was working for him, filming his videos and stuff. And then I started to make skits on Instagram because I think he got busy. I think he started shooting a movie or something, and I was just sitting around all day, and I had nothing to do. So I was like, I make these videos for him. Why don't I just try to make them for myself too? Mm-hmm. So I started making skits and then grew my following that way. And then my friend started daily vlogging, Lance 210, and then Casey Neistat, he was another big vlogger who I looked up to. And they were daily vlogging. And then me and Logan were like, let's start vlogging. And he started his vlog and I started my vlog, and I still was doing the skits. And then I could only post... Like, he had enough money to pay an editor. I didn't have enough money yet. So I had to edit all my videos. And then once I started to, like, get views on them and start making my money, I actually didn't monetize my first, like, I don't even know, a lot of videos, because Casey Neistat told me, like, oh, like, make your videos good. Don't worry about the money. Put good music in them. So I would put, like, good music in them so I couldn't make money.
Yeah.
So people would, like, watch them and enjoy the video. And then I started making money and I started to pay an editor. But what really like allowed me to, I stopped working for Logan, and what allowed me to move out and get my own place was through my skits on Instagram. I signed my first ever brand deal, actually, was a 2-year deal for $200,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So that gave me the financial freedom. Like, okay, I don't need to work for Logan anymore. I could just focus 100% on me. And then that's when I went full in on YouTube daily vlogging.
Wow, that's so interesting. So you woke up and you had to figure out something to do. Did you get like creative burnout? Where you're like...
Yeah. But when I was daily vlogging, I was like getting a ton of views. So there was opportunities. People would always hit you up like, hey, yeah, come do this. Hey, do you want to go on this trip? Hey, we're doing this thing. So it was like always something to do. Like I did everything. I went skydiving. I went
and then bungee jumping. Doesn't that make you depressed knowing that you've literally done everything?
Does it make me depressed?
Not literally depressed, but you probably hit a point where you were like, okay, like... Because
Well, that's the problem. And I think that's kind of why I figured out like celebrities get so depressed, mm-hmm, because they have access to everything.
There's nothing they can't do.
So then they turn to drugs and alcohol because that's like what makes them feel good in this moment. But it's like, yeah, like if you've done every single thing and lived every luxurious experience, you have to look back like what actually makes me happy.
It's scary. It's a scary feeling.
And, yeah. The most important thing is relationships, friends, family.
It's so true. Like who you're with is so important. Mm-hmm. And some people like will get lost in the grind of scaling or growing your social media and all this stuff and then realize they don't have any real friends around them.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, do these people even like me for me?
But that is LA, honestly.
Exactly.
Like when I was daily vlogging and pumping out content, I could hang out with anyone. Mm-hmm. And then you stop and you disappear. You stop posting and it's like, can't even get a freaking 1 out of 10 to hang out with me. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy though. It is a crazy thought. And I have seen that.
I'd rather, like I said, like the breakup video, I'd rather make videos that mean something to me now.
Yeah, you do great storytelling.
Thanks. But that stuff, I like spending time on those kind of videos because it means something to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those take much longer. It's so much easier for me to just, you know, film the camera. I can make, you know, your room interesting for like a vlog, whatever, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
So like, I like to spend time on those but they do take a while.
Where do you think the like, internet's going now? Knowing like, you know, it was so like quick, mm-hmm, and lavish and we're doing such cool shit all the time to like, it's changing.
Well, I think the new trend is niching down and, mm-hmm, picking a niche. And I think a lot of people are getting success on TikTok, for example. I don't know if it's still going to be around or if it's going to be banned.
See.
But they kind of just film their job. Like someone works at a pizza store, they film themselves making pizza, another one's in construction. Like you pick a niche and what you're doing in reality and then you film that. I think that's the new influencer, the new creator. mm-hmm. that people look up to because it's interest-based. So if someone likes football and someone does football content, like, they're going to watch that.
Yeah.
But I don't think so much of the influencer, because there's a ton of us, right? What am I influencing?
You know? Yeah, that's true.
There's like with live streaming and people watching, like Just Chatting is the biggest right game Twitch. Yeah. It's like beyond even video games. Yep. It's like people just want to be a fly on the wall to your life.
I think personality is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, being yourself. I didn't get successful because of my looks and I'm not posting ab pictures, you know, like it was all personality based. Mm-hmm. And I think the Instagram model, like, I've had a few friends that are Instagram models. They're like, well, why aren't my TikToks doing well? Or why does no one watch my YouTube? It's because you didn't build your brand on personality.
Exactly.
And on Instagram, yeah, it works. If you're a hot girl, whatever. But if you go over to TikTok and just post you being hot in front of the camera, no one cares.
Exactly.
So TikTok and YouTube are more so like getting to know the person. That's why you look at, like, when I tell girls who want to do influencing, look up to female influencers who crush it with their personality, like Emma Chamberlain.
Yeah, that's like, so true.
Look at the career she's built for herself, or like Liza Koshy, like all these female YouTubers. Like, I don't know. If I was a girl, that's who I would look up to.
Yeah,
I wouldn't look up to like IG models. Like, yeah. Oh, I want her lips and her boobs and her butt. Yeah, I wouldn't look up to that.
Yeah, because there's not many places to go with it.
Right.
And I feel bad for those girls though too, in a way, because they like built a huge following. They're very known, mm-hmm. and then a lot of them, they have so much more they care about, but they haven't put it out there.
Yeah.
And then now they're like, well, does anyone care about me personally? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, so then they overthink. Okay, I can't even be myself because everyone just looks at me as this hot girl.
But it's, and then they're it's like, your own fault.
Yeah, and then they're like, and I actually care about X, Y, and Z, but like no one's gonna care if I say that. Mm-hmm. So it's like also a very sad feeling for them. It's like, okay, everyone only cares about my looks. Like, they don't give a shit what I have to say. Like, imagine that feeling. It's like really sucks, interesting. Yeah. I've had those talks with a lot of girls that got famous for being beautiful, and it's just
that's kind of sad. I struggle too with that. Not the looks thing, but I built my YouTube channel on a relationship. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not in a relationship, my videos don't perform as well. And yeah, it sucks because it's like, oh, you guys only watch me for the girl I was with.
Yeah.
But it's my fault. Like, I built the brand and catered to my audience what was doing well. And I kept feeding into that because mm-hmm. it was doing well. And then, yeah, it comes back to bite you in the ass later on because looks fade, relationships come and go.
So. Yeah. And then you feel pressured. They're like, do I always have to be in a relationship to have my career?
Yeah. Right.
Like, what?
Hey, I'm trying to figure it out, you know?
So what, tell me about your podcast now.
It's called Living Large.
Living Large.
I did it a while ago. I stopped vlogging, I can't remember when, maybe like 2017 or 18. And then I started the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I did it for a while. I interviewed guests. And then I went to a format with just me and my buddy talking about stuff. And then during COVID, I stopped the podcast. Because, there wasn't much to talk about. Nothing was really going on. And one day, I was trying to figure out what was next for me on like TikTok and stuff. And a friend of mine who I had on the podcast 5 years ago, he posted on Instagram that it was like the 8-year anniversary. He was on a train to Paris and he stopped a terrorist attack and he got like stabbed and the guy shot at him and it misfired. Like, there's a whole movie, the 1517 to Paris. Clint Eastwood made a movie about it.
Wow.
And I had him on my podcast and he posted on his Instagram. He's like, 8-year anniversary. And I was laying in bed. This was when I was in long distance. And I was like, oh, you know, I see a lot of TikTok clips of podcasts. So let me go make a clip. And I posted it and I was going to delete it because it wasn't really doing well. And I went to bed. I was like, I'll check in the morning. And then when I woke up, it went viral. And I was like, oh, let me post a part two. And then that one went viral. And then I was like, let me post part three. And then that one went viral. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, all this content that I filmed 5 years ago is now going viral. That's crazy. So then I posted another old clip. And that one did like 28 million views. So I was like,
Jesus.
All right. People clearly want to hear the stories that I told, like I'm telling. Yeah. And I have on my podcast. So I was like, I'm just going to start my podcast back up and start telling stories again. And yeah, I just restarted it. And
I love that. That's like meant to be.
I love telling stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've told my story. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell other people's stories. So that's kind of my podcast.
What's your favorite stories that you've told on your podcast so far?
My favorite stories. My buddy Kevin Hines, his story was the one that did really well. And he is a Golden Gate Bridge jump survivor. And I told the story of that when he was 18 years old. He tried to take his own life and he survived.
How?
I guess there was a seal. Was it a seal? Or a sea lion. Sea lion. When he landed, it was like keeping him afloat because he broke like almost all of his bones and he obviously couldn't swim. And then the people got there after this sea lion was keeping him afloat and he survived. And now his whole mission is his whole slogan is be here tomorrow, because he said the second that his hands left the rail that he experienced instant regret, and he was praying on the way down he's like, no one is going to know that I didn't want to die. And then he got a second chance. And now he goes around talking to like middle schoolers and stuff to advocate for mental health and to be here tomorrow.
Wow, that's like beautiful. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel like that was like an angel in the sea lion that like saved his life.
And his like logo on his thing is a sea lion.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. That's an amazing story. Yeah. Wow. I feel like you have some cool things on your podcast. People need to go listen.
Yeah, I have a ton of cool stories.
Okay, so where do you see yourself in the future?
Where do I see? In what future? Okay. How long are we talking?
3 years from now.
3 years from now. Oh, damn. Hopefully have a house with a golden doodle.
Aw, those are really cute dogs.
Yeah. And just continue storytelling on the internet. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I think one day I want to open up like a coffee shop.
That's so funny. I always say that.
Yeah. I want to slow my life down in 3 years.
Yeah, I always say one day I want to open a coffee shop.
I don't know why. It just seems cool to have a cafe and work there.
I always think of that in the future. I'm like, I'd love to have my own coffee shop. Yeah. Just like when you're just chilling.
Uh-huh.
It sounds so great. I love coffee. I want you to start will you try a vlog on your page?
On TikTok?
Yeah, or any of them. You should.
I've thought about honestly daily vlogging on TikTok.
I feel like your fans are still going to want to see you.
Yeah. They like are. I can make a 3-minute video every
even
day.
Even about you going to your podcast and figuring out who you're interviewing, like even the whole process of it, I feel like is entertaining.
Honestly, it's funny because like sitting here talking about it and like when you ask me a question, you're like, where do you see content creation going? It's so easy for me to give you advice.
I know.
As I was sitting here listening, I'm like, I need to fucking take my own advice. Like,
I know. It's so much easier to look at someone else and tell them what they should do.
Yes.
And but, like,
this conversation opened my eyes of like, oh, should I actually do need to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like your fans will still resonate with it. Like, especially growing up watching you, they're going to want to know, like, watch your life change. Mm-hmm. Your podcast is going, what was the title of it?
Living Large.
Your podcast is Living Large, so people can find you there. Mm-hmm. Something I always like to ask my guests is, what do you feel like is your billion-dollar quality that got you to where you are today?
Ooh. Being a loving, caring son.
Aww, that's cute. That's
good. I have really great parents, and I had a really good upbringing, and my parents are my biggest fans, and just having their support has kind of gotten me to where I am, and they encourage me to come out to LA and do everything I'm doing, and they're still watching every single video, and they still comment, and, you know, my mom's my rock. I'm going through a breakup right now, obviously, and she sends me a card once a week. Love that woman. She's my biggest fan. So yeah, just that's probably been the $1 billion. Just having my family support.
I love that. That's so special. That's so special. She sends you a card.
Yeah, but I gotta be better. I gotta stop ghosting women.
Well, at least you know. At least you're, and at least you admit it. Because anyone that like will get hurt by hearing that, it's like I think it's a big thing to even notice it and see that. Because there's a lot of people that will like do it and then not even feel bad about it or not care.
We love a self-aware king.
Yeah, you're self-aware. Okay, so
you know what I actually hate?
What?
It's the blank for me. Fucking hate that. I cannot stand when girls say that shit. Also, you know what I noticed? Girls online, when they do like a day in the life type shit, they all talk the same way.
You're deep in it. Yeah. Okay, so tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Mark Doner. Listen to my music. Stream Threesome. It's playing right now. I'm copywriting this whole video. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, as always, my Billion Dollar Baby, for listening. As you know, I release new episodes every Tuesday and I read all your comments. So let me know what parts resonated with you the most, as well as what you want to see next. I'll see you next week.